Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Holy Spirit, we thank you that your word is important to us. Thank you that you communicate through your spirit and through your scriptures. Might we hear you clearly this morning, we pray. Amen. I don't know where you are, but as you know, this collection of scriptures we call the Bible is really important to me. And I was reflecting the other day about how actually I have a very similar relationship to these scriptures that I did have with my father. I hold them in awe and have respect for them. Other times they frustrate me and confuse me. And there are times when I suddenly realize I haven't spent much time with them. Of course, there are those times as well when I spend time with them, but my mind is being dragged elsewhere to all the other things I have to do. But ultimately, they are a trusted guide to me, and I love them. I don't know where you find yourself with the scriptures. Perhaps you have similar feelings to myself. Perhaps you love them. At times they frustrate you, or other times they just confuse you. One of our favourite TV series in our house is an old series called West Wing. I don't know if any of you have watched that. 7 glorious seasons of the American White House with Martin Sheen as President Bartlet. We were watching it only last night, weren't we? So, as well as all the president and his people around him, there is a Jewish chap, a grumpy old sage called Toby. And at one point during the seasons, he is asked this: Toby, do you believe the Bible to be literally true? His response is a classic Toby response, and one full of wisdom that we might take on board. Toby's response to "Is the Bible literally true?" is this. He says, "Yes, sir. But I don't think either of us is smart enough to understand it." I raise that because as we continue our meander through the Gospel of Matthew, we get to today's passage. And where do you begin with today's passage? Demons and healings and spirits around. I mean, where do you begin with that? I think you can make two big mistakes with these sort of scriptures as we read the life story of Jesus and reflect upon the impact of that on us. I think firstly, you can look at demons and scriptures and healing and just dismiss it out of hand because you have no reference point for that in your own life. Maybe you haven't seen healings, or maybe you haven't seen evil spirits or seen the impact of evil spirits. And you can just say something along the lines of, well, that's all well and good. That was for then. We know better now. Jesus was a nice chap, nice guy. I like to live by his teachings, but that was for then. That's one mistake you can make. The other mistake is you can take them literally. Now, don't worry about what I'm about, me using the word literally there. But you might say, or you may read, for example, anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And then you can reflect on your life and maybe, like I and your teenage years or even your adult years, have used the word Jesus Christ as a swear word or something like that. And you can think, well, I can't be forgiven because I've blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, as it calls here. And if you find that strange to understand, I can assure you I have prayed with people who have believed that up until the point I've told them otherwise. So you can fall in one or two of those mistakes, and we need not to be falling in those mistakes. There is nothing wrong with taking the Bible literally and seriously. We'll get onto that in a moment, and I take the Bible seriously and literally. I just think, as our friend Toby says, I'm not entirely sure I've got the intellect to understand what literally it is all the time. But we need to approach the Bible in context. And we need to approach it in the context in perhaps three ways. In the context of the culture that it was spoken into at the time. And we need to approach the Bible in the context of the whole story in the Bible. We've got so many different books in our Bible. And we need to approach the Bible in the context of the individual book and its literacy, the version that it is. Is it poetry? Is it history? Is it historic biography? Or is it another area? I won't even try and say that word again. Apocrypha is what I was going to say. But we need to take it on board in those three ways. And then we can pray to our God Spirit and say, well, how does that impact my context now? Where does that come in? And we can do that. And then we don't get to just dismiss the Bible out of hand. We don't get to say things like, well, that was for then, this is for now, we know better. Or that was, you know, without actually investigating it properly, we don't get to say that was that context and we live in a different context today. It doesn't work in the same way. So, given that approach and given the fact that I've taken some time to go over that, let us look at this gospel that we've got today. Because we're in the Gospel of Matthew again, which we've come back to, and we're nearly halfway there at the moment. And I'll give you a brief reminder of Matthew's gospel and its literary style. It is historic biography, as are the other synoptic gospels, Mark and Luke. So it's a story of Jesus and how he lived his life here on earth and what we can learn from that and the message that Jesus has for us, the fact that God is with us. Matthew wants us to understand that Jesus is the new Moses, if you remember, and he is God with us. So hold on to that. Secondly, what is the culture that it was spoken into? Where was it spoken into? Well, we know it was spoken into a country which was occupied by a foreign nation, the Romans. So there was all that going on. But also we know that there's the ruling elite, the religious ruling elite, who, if they can just keep the people quiet, if they can just get the people to understand that they must go through them to reach God, then they will be able to keep the Romans happy and have their own little empire as well. We call them the Pharisees, don't we? But also we know in the context it's spoken into, Jesus has just come off the back of a preaching tour explaining how God's kingdom can come in your life, in my life, in their life. He's been contradicting this ruling elite. And so in our context, Jesus, who is God with us, who is the new Moses, has been ramping up his attack on the Pharisees and those who would separate God's people from him. And this attack on the religious leader reaches fever point today. And then finally, we need to look at the overarching message of the Bible and in relation to Matthew. Now, the overarching message of the Bible is akin to Gone with the Wind. It's akin to Lord of the Rings. It's akin to even the Avengers, in that the story is one of love. It's a love story of God seeking his people to come to know him. He's desperate for them to come to know him. It's a classic journey of God's people, you and I, through life, walking towards God with evil around us and yet triumphing because we love one another and we trust in God. And of course, it's a rescue mission of God sending his son that we might have life to the full, of him coming for you and I. That is the overarching story. And as we dive into our passage from Matthew, we see all of that wrapped up in our passage. We see, for example, Jesus healing people and the evil around him rising up. We see the Pharisees saying Jesus is a joke. He must be doing that by Beelzebub, the devil, the evil one. And actually, at some point, I really want to spend some time on evil, because in our time, in our culture, we can dismiss evil all too quickly. And it's very real. But actually, that wasn't what the Holy Spirit brought me into focus on this week. He brought me into focus on one very simple point. This warning that Jesus gives to the Pharisees and others after they attack him. Now, as we head into that, remember that God is with you. You can access God directly. His overarching story is that he loves you and wants to journey with you. And then let me read you again that passage we heard. But this time I'm going to read it from the Message, which gives us a bit more context. This is war, and there is no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. There's nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you deliberately persist in your slanders against God, you are reprobating the very one who forgives you. If you reject the Son of Man out of some misunderstanding, the Holy Spirit will forgive you. But when you reject the Holy Spirit, you're sawing off the branch on which you're sitting, severing by your own perversity or connection with the one who forgives. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so fair-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of those careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. This is a battle, people. And at some point, we all need to make a decision, don't we? There's not one thing that cannot be forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. He's not saying there's one thing. Only a continuous decision to walk away from God is what he's on about. Everyone gets an opportunity, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is about making a continuous decision to walk away from Jesus, to not take him seriously, to refuse to receive the forgiveness that is on offer. If someone makes that decision, God is not a dictator. He honors that decision. Sadly, many make that decision. Even those that go to church sometimes make that decision. Donald Trump in 2015 was being interviewed by someone, and he was telling them about how important his faith was to them. And that person said, "Have you ever asked God for forgiveness?" Trump's reply was typical Trump. "I'm not sure I have," he said. "I just go on and try and do a better job from there." "I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into the picture. I don't." Interesting, isn't it? A year later, he was given the chance to reflect on that and asked, did he regret that answer? Well, this is Trump, so he didn't. His response instead was, "I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. And I am good. I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try and do nothing that is bad." Now, I am far from Donald Trump's judge. I make my own mistakes. I carry my own baggage. But that is a classic tactic of evil in our world today. Deceit and that sort of response. You know, I'm okay. I'm basically a nice person. I even go to church sometimes. In fact, I go to church many weeks. Sounds very Christian, doesn't it? A little Pharisaic, maybe. It's deceit and evil. It's wolves in sheep's clothing. It's evil dressed up in all of its finery. It's taken people away from the kingdom of God. Now, I chose to ask Mike to read that Old Testament story of Samuel looking, or God looking through Samuel for King David, and for a reason. Read so well to us, you'll remember that we heard, "Do not consider his appearance or his height. The Lord does not look on the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." It doesn't matter if you were the president of the USA or whether you're a year one pupil in Bidbury Infant School. It doesn't matter how good or bad you look. It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. God is looking for people who have a heart after him. People who love people and people who love God. Not people who just look good, but people who are willing to receive forgiveness, to repent and turn away from the evil ways of our world. Jesus would go on to say and said to us several thousand years ago, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The question for others, and indeed the question for us today, is what is our heart full of? It's a tough message, isn't it? But this is our chance to repent and to turn to Jesus. So I'm going to ask Carol to play something for us in a moment, as we reflect on where we are, what our heart is full of. And then after Carol's finished playing, for us to have that reflection time together, we'll have an opportunity to repent.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.